from your personal experience and observations, do you think that worldly pleasures and treasures can bring true happiness in life? Now, I really want you to think about that for just a minute, because so many times you'll hear that expression, well, you know, money can't buy you happiness and money can't buy you love. But from your personal experience, and everybody has had something they can testify to in regard to their own personal experience, and from what not only you've experienced but what you've seen, do you really think that worldly pleasures and treasures can bring true happiness in life? Well, grab your Bible, come on back in just a minute. We're going to be looking at Chasing After the Wind from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to Central Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're joining us today. I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and we titled this message, Chasing After the Wind. Now, to start with, I ask you, in your personal experience, maybe observations that you've seen, do you think that worldly pleasures and treasures can bring true happiness? Now, many of us have chased after those at various times and areas in our lives, and I'll get to that in just a moment, but have you ever had that thing in your life, or that goal that you were striving for? And now, first of all, it's okay to set goals, but have you ever had that goal in life that you were striving for, and maybe you worked for years and years to be able to finally accomplish it, and then it finally happened, you were able to accomplish it. What happened after that? Was there this feeling of emptiness? It was like, well, what do we do now, or what do we do next? Well, you know, we get some interesting words from Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, particularly verses 1 through 17, that deal with just this matter. So if you've got that Bible, look with me, if you would, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. It says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. By the way, mirth means pleasures. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all of the days of their lives. Verse 4, I made my work great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. Yeah, I made myself water pools from which the water, the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all those who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kind. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Verse 10, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and all the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Verse 12, then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceived that the same event happens to them all. So I said to my heart, and it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And while I was then, and why was I then more wise? Then I said to my heart, this also is vanity, for there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool. Therefore, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me. For all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we pray that your word would truly pierce our heart. Lord, I pray that in each and everything that we say, each and everything that we do, might magnify you this day. I pray, Father, that you will help us to have a true, right, and proper perspective when it comes down to looking at the things such as worldly pleasures and seeking things such as items outside of our Lord and Savior to try to bring us wisdom. Lord, just in all that we say and do today, speak to our hearts as only you can. Lord, I pray that you would give us true wisdom when it comes to your word today. And may each and everything that we say honor and magnify you. Lord, I pray that you will move us closer to you together today, that we might see whether or not our perspective in life and what we're chasing is really after the wind, or what we're chasing those things that are eternal things. So speak to our hearts. Lord, use this your messenger for these moments, that you would be high and lifted up, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, as we look at our passage today in our text, you know, King Solomon. Now, first of all, let me just give you a little tidbit about King Solomon. If you remember, King Solomon was considered to be the wisest person to ever live. Why was that? Because he was asked, you know, what is it that you would want? And as he pondered that question, you know, what Solomon said was, he said, you know, what I want more than anything on this earth is wisdom. And the Lord essentially said to him, because you didn't ask for riches and you didn't ask for great gain, not only will I give you wisdom, but I will give you those things as well. So, you know, according to the Word of God, King Solomon was the wisest person that there has ever been. Now, obviously, we're not talking about Christ. You know, Christ would far surpass him, but yet, as far as somebody that we would know, a living human being that it was not God incarnate, King Solomon is considered to be the wisest person ever. So in our text, King Solomon is searching for the meaning of joy in life. And as I think about that, it makes me laugh, because that seems like each and every one of us. Isn't that what we're doing? We are searching for meaning and joy in life. And he's doing that as he said in this text. He says he's searching for it under the sun. Now what that means is, he's talking about, apart from a personal relationship with God, what are the things that are around me that can fulfill me, the things that can give me meaning, the things that can give me joy, the things that can give me life, that are right here in the present? I guess if we could say it in another way, the things that are horizontal rather than vertical. You know, and think about that for a moment. That's exactly where all of us are. We are looking to find the things that fulfill us. Our life's pursuits are generally the things that are going to bring meaning to us or make us joy. Whether you want that promotion, well, is your life wrapped up in who you are in the workplace? You know, maybe it's more money. You know, so I'm going to go out and do everything I can to get more money. What does all this do for you in life, apart from a personal relationship with God? Now, Solomon was the guy who, what he was going to do was, he was going to do an experiment. Now, it's ironic. We all do this, but he puts it right out here in our text. In verse 1, it tells us what Solomon set out to do. Verse 1 says this. It says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Now remember, a moment ago I told you that mirth means pleasures. He says, I will test you with mirth or pleasures. Therefore, enjoy pleasures. But surely this also was vanity. Now, how did that go for him? You know, when he said, okay, I'm going to take my life, I'm going to test it out, I'm going to see about all the things that I can do that I think will bring joy to my life. I'm going to go out there, I'm going to do those things, and I'm going to see if they are going to fulfill me that would last not only a lifetime, but throughout all of eternity. Now, in verse 2, we find out how that went for him. Verse 2 says, I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth or pleasure, what does it accomplish? In other words, at the end of these things, he's sitting back saying, well, what was it worth? What did I really get out of those things? Did they really enhance me? Was it something that was going to fulfill me, you know, for the rest of my life? Now, you also have to understand something about Solomon. Solomon was one of those guys that had unlimited resources. Now, you and I would sit back, and I've heard it said so many times, well, you know, somebody may say to you, well, money can't buy you happiness. And for us, if somebody's ever said that to us, you know, we've probably thought to ourselves, oh, I'll tell you one thing, it can sure go a long way of relieving stress and a bunch of other things. But you got to remember this, Solomon had unlimited resources as far as money, whatever he needed, he had to put this experiment that he did to the test. All right? So with unlimited resources, you know, what numerous and specific pleasures did Solomon involve in his experiment to find meaning in life and to find joy under the sun? Well, verses 3 through 8 tell us that. Now, before I read those verses 3 through 8 to you again, I want to ask you that as you listen to these verses or as you follow along with me, do you find yourself seeking, you know, fulfillment and joy in life in these things that Solomon tried out, the wisest man ever? Look at what he says that he tried, what he experimented with to see if it was going to bring him fulfillment and joy. Beginning with verse 3, he says this. He says, I searched my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine. So there was. He tried alcohol to see if that was going to be the coup de grace that was going to bring joy and fulfillment in life. It says, while guarding my heart with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven and all of the days of their life. Verse 4, he goes on, he says this. He said, I made my works great. I built myself houses, and I planted myself vineyards. So with all of his unlimited resources, he thought, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to, you know, work on construction. I'm going to build palaces, and I'm going to build places that are going to be, you know, that when people look at, they'll sit back and say, these are magnificent. And it says, not only did he do that, he went out and he planted vineyards. He has, you know, his garden along the way. And all these things he was throwing and investing resources into see if it was going to bring fulfillment in life. Verse 4, he said, yeah, I made my works great. I built myself houses. I planted myself vineyards. Verse 5, I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants, and I had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and all the special treasures of kings and of provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of my sons of men, and musical instruments of all kind. So he has just laid out all these particular areas where he threw finances and efforts and everything into to see if that was going to be fulfilling to him. Now, remember when we started our Bible study today, one of the things that I asked you is, I said, have you ever had that situation where there was something that you had to strive for, that you had to put effort and energy in day after day, and oftentimes year after year after year, and then you finally got there, you finally accomplished it, and then what had happened was you realized, it's like, okay, well, that was cool, it was wonderful, but what do I do now? Because see, what happened was that did not fulfill you. A classic example of that, and I found this in talking with folks in my lifetime and through my ministry, a good classic example is college. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not throwing college under the bus. I think it's a great thing. But so often what happens is, you know, people sit back and say, I've got to have this. This is something that I have to do. So they will work 4 years or 6 years or sometimes 8 years. And then finally graduation day comes around. And it's a great fulfilling experience for the graduation ceremony. It's a wonderful time to don the cap and gown and to be recognized for it. But then when that's over with, it's kind of like, well, what now? You know, it didn't bring fulfillment in such a fashion that it was going to be something that was going to be lifelong lasting forever. Now, that's not to say it's not going to be able to get you a good job or a decent paying job, but too many times we have the wrong perspective with the things that we think are going to bring us satisfaction in life. Now, remember when I said Solomon was doing this experiment apart from including a personal relationship with our Lord. You know, it's like, is there anything else out there that's going to do the trick? Are there other things? And so in his experiment, he was spending money left and right. He was building houses. He was building orchards. He bought servants. He had livestock. When it comes down to the financial aspect of things, you might look at Solomon and say, man, this guy's got it going on. This guy's got a tremendous portfolio. He has whatever he wants. Remember, he had unlimited resources. He could throw all kinds of money at this. But even in doing so, he still comes back to find out that it was not fulfilling when it comes down to a lifelong journey and a lifelong adventure. And when you look at it, just like what we read about Solomon, there are ways that people in our society, people in our lives, and people that we know continue to try to do this to this very day. They go out and they'll buy this car, and man, they think it's the greatest thing on the planet. And then a year later, you'll see them trade it in because they're looking for what's next because the current thing didn't fulfill them. You'll see people just hopping from thing to thing to thing. And every one of us in our lives knows somebody just like that. Hopefully and prayerfully, it's not us. Maybe the Holy Spirit has actually put it on your mind that you are that person. Well, yeah, if it is, own it. Yeah, say, yes, Lord, this is me. I need to stop doing this. I need to reach for the true fulfillment, which Solomon did and which you and I can do as well. And that is a personal walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's New Testament. Old Testament days, he walked with the Lord. You and I have that opportunity to walk with Christ, who is always with us. Okay, so as we look at this and we think about Solomon in his search for meaning, there was something that happened to him. You know, what did he become? Now, a lot of us would sit back and say, well, he became dissatisfied from what we saw right there. But from the outside looking in, what did Solomon become? Verse 9 says this. It says, so I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. He didn't lose that. Yeah, that was part of what helped him keep his senses. But from the outside looking in, everybody that would look at Solomon would say, oh man, he is great. But it still didn't fulfill him. How many people in your life do you look at and you sit back and say, oh, that's a great person. And inside, they're hollow. Inside, they're empty. Inside, they have tried to fulfill life with pleasures, spending, money, all of the things other than a personal walk with Jesus Christ, a personal walk with a holy God through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, it talks about some pleasures that he withheld, all right? So what pleasures what mirth did Solomon withhold from his eyes? How careful was he? Verse 10 gives us the answer to that question. It says, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasures, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. In other words, what he held back? Absolutely nothing. Whatever he wanted to do, he did. Whatever he felt like was going to bring him pleasure, he went, you know, hey, if it feels good, do it. We've heard that expression before. Well, that is exactly what Solomon did in his experiment to try to find what was going to be fulfilling in life outside of a walk with God. Now, when you think about that, and you look at that, and you say, okay, he didn't withhold anything, but yet in his life, you know, it says that he became great. Well, let's think about this. What was the result of his experiment to find meaning and joy through worldly pleasures? He gives us that answer in verse 11. In verse 11, he says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. The wisest man to ever walk the planet just told you. He says, I went out, I experimented, I tried it all. He said, yeah, I had a few joys from what happened. But he said, when it came down to the overall satisfaction of what had taken place, he said that it was hollow. He said it was empty. He said it was like grasping the wind. Now, it's really interesting. Look at that verse again. And it says in verse 11, the middle part of verse 11, it says, and on the labor which I had toiled, and he was talking about, he had looked upon what he had done. He took that moment and he stood back and he said, look at what all I have accomplished. I've built houses. I've got servants. I've got livestock. I've got all these things. I have just piled them in around me. And then he said this, latter part of verse 11, and indeed all, every bit of it, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Now, think about grasping at the wind. It's really interesting when you think about that. You can't catch the wind. You know, part of the reason is you can't even see it. Yeah, you might run to where it is, and then it's gone over here. But what Solomon is telling us is this is something that is purely in vain. And remember, once again, I got to remind you, this is coming from the wisest man to ever walk the planet based on what the Word of God tells us. He is saying that you are not going to be able to find fulfillment in riches. You're not going to be able to find fulfillment in vanity. You're not going to be able to find fulfillment in pleasures. Even if you had them all, you're still not going to be fulfilled. The only thing that will be fulfilling and give your life purpose is a walk with God Almighty Himself. Okay? Now, a lot of us sit back and say, well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm still going to strive after those pleasures. Well, you are going to simply be grasping for the wind. That's what he says. He even tells you what the results of it were. And I point out, he is the smartest or wisest man to ever walk this earth. And that is according to the Word of God, because God is the one who gave him that wisdom. Now, what was involved in Solomon's second experience to find meaning and joy in life under the sun? And when it talks about under the sun, that means outwardly, right here in what we see on this planet, as it were. So, you know, Solomon realizes that his first experiment has failed horribly to bring about meaning and joy. So he does a second experiment. We find that in verse 12. It says, then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done. In other words, he's saying, okay, there's nothing else to do. You know, there's a passage that says there's nothing new under the sun. Yeah, Solomon actually says that there's more gain in wisdom than in folly in verses 13 and 14. He says, "Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceived that the same event happens to all of them." And he says that regardless of where you think you are, whether you consider yourself in the light or in the dark, whether you consider yourself to be wise, whether you consider yourself to be fool, whether it's folly, whether it's wisdom, whatever it may be, he said it all winds up in the same place. There is nothing to be gained in personal pleasures under this earth. That's what he's telling us. Yeah, the result of his second experiment to find meaning and joy under the sun is given to us in verses 14, 15, and 16. Verse 14 says, "The wise man's eyes are in the back of his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all." Regardless of where you are, verse 15. "So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me." And he knew he was wise. He knew God had granted him the wisdom that he had asked for. He said, "But you know what? I'm in the same position as the fool because I sought pleasures and joys, and I sought things under the sun or on this earth outside of a walk with God." And he said, "I find myself in the same place as the fool." That's what he's saying. Verse 15, look at it again. "So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity." Okay, there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever. He says nobody's going to remember the wise or the fool. They're just going to look at all those things that you chased after in the midst of this life. Verse 16, "There is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As a fool, the same way that a fool does." And when you look at that particular passage, he says something that's very interesting in verse 16. He says there's no more remembrance for the wise than for the fool. Yeah, regardless of what you're doing, you're going to be categorized the same. It says that all now will be forgotten. Folks, this earth is going to pass away. Everything in all the things that you're striving for, whether it's homes, bank accounts, cars, all those things under the sun are going to pass away. Only the things that are done for the kingdom's sake will be the things that will last into all of eternity. So why is it that we find ourselves seeking joy and fulfillment in the things under the sun, the things on this earth? Why is it that we are chasing so hard to be in a position of Solomon where somebody says, "Well, that's a great person over there"? Well, folks, let me make you this promise. You are going to be in eternity far longer than you ever thought about being on this earth. We know that the Word of God tells us specifically and pointedly that life is but a vapor that appeareth for only a short while and then vanisheth away compared to all of eternity. Now, if true meaning and joy cannot be found in pleasures and in treasures here on earth and under the sun, where do you think that they can be found? Now, I want to carry you over to a passage that's actually, it's John 10:10. And I want to ask you, as I read this passage, I want you to think about this. What did Jesus promise to those who follow after him? Now, in John 10:10, we read this. It says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And many of us know this particular passage. It talks about Satan. It talks about the thief. And he comes to steal from you. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. And this world is technically belonging to him at this particular point. But yet Jesus said this. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. Not only that they may have life, but that they may have it more abundantly. Man, isn't that a great thought? He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. So what is it that we're chasing around? Are we truly seeking after, you know, the pleasures of this world? Are they things that are more important to us than what eternity can hold and what eternity can bring? Yeah, do you think that it's possible to find true meaning and joy in life apart from Jesus Christ? Now, we probably answered that in our mind. So I want to ask you this question. Why or why not? Why did you answer that question the way you did? Why do you think that it is possible to find true meaning in life and joy in life apart from Jesus Christ? Why did you answer that question the way that you did? You know, I hope that your answer was there's absolutely no way to be able to find meaning and joy in life apart from a walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because, you know, if you sat there and said that you did, then you're living for the temporal. Then essentially what's going to happen is you're going to spend your eternity in hell without him. Now, and sometimes people sit back and say, well, I'm a born-again believer and I believe in Christ, but yet I like to be able to have things. Well, where's your focus? Is your focus right when it comes down to that? The Lord didn't say that that wealth is going to send a man to hell. That's not what he said. You know, he did say that it would be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But here's why. Because most of the time, his thoughts are on his personal possessions and on the joys and the pleasures that are in this world, that are under the sun. The things that Solomon said he chased after to see if that was going to provide purpose and meaning and joy in life. And Solomon tells us it did not. All these things. He said, there was nothing that I didn't try. I tried it all, and none of those things brought joy and brought fulfillment. And folks, let me make you this promise. The same holds true to you and I today. Just like Solomon, if you are chasing after those things, they are not going to bring you pleasure. They are not going to bring you joy. They are not going to bring fulfillment. Now, some of you say, well, I sure enjoy it. And even the Lord said there's pleasure in sin for a season. I get that. I really do. But there's no fulfillment in that. That's not going to lead you to a relationship with the Lord that's going to last through all of eternity. Now, you know, as we consider this, do you think that it's possible to find true meaning and joy in life apart from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I hope that your answer was absolutely not. Now, think about what did Solomon say about life during his worldly search for meaning and joy. You know, remember what I said, the key word is his worldly search. Verse 17 tells us that. Here's what he said. He said, therefore I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, said that when he was out there searching all these many, many things and trying everything, he said this. He said, I hated life. How many people today are going through life and they hate it? Maybe it's because you're searching for the wrong thing. Maybe it's because you haven't allowed the Lord to fill your heart with joy that can only come from him. You're not going to find it in riches and in money and homes and vineyards and gardens and all those things. Now listen, they may bring you joy, but what is the proper perspective with all of those things? If that's what you're searching for worldly joy in, you're not going to find it. If that's something that the Lord has graciously allowed you to do to bring you some pleasure in this life, there's nothing wrong with that. But what is your focus? Solomon said, there was nothing I didn't try, man. I went after everything. I tried it all. And what happened was I hated life. If you don't believe me, look at verse 17. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 17, verbatim says, "Therefore I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me." It is going to make you tired. It is going to make you weary along the way. And then he said, "For all is vanity and grasping at the wind." There it is, chasing that wind once again. You can't catch it. You can't see it. You can't come up on it. And Solomon says, because of that, when I was doing all these things, I couldn't stand life. So many people sit back today and they say, "I just hate life." Well, maybe you're like Solomon. Maybe you're chasing life in the wrong places. Maybe you're chasing life on the worldly standard and the horizontal under the sun or in this world standard. If that's you, that can change this very moment. You can trust the Lord with it. You can begin to seek Him. And I will make you a promise. He will turn your life around. Think about what he said. What does it mean to chase after the wind? We've said before, if we do our Bible studies, we need to look for things that are sins to confess. If today, if that's you and you are chasing after the wind, here is a sin that you can confess to the Father. And when you do, and when you repent, He is faithful and just to forgive you of those sins, and He'll give you a new start. Okay? Why is it that you think that many today waste their lives chasing the wind? Well, I think they have the wrong perspective. I think it's all about what is the joy that I can bring upon myself. And if I have more money, then I'm going to be happier. Nope. Smartest man in the world said that's not true. Matter of fact, he said, "When I chased that, I hated life." I don't know about you, but man, I enjoy life every day. Let me ask you about your life. In your life today, would you say that you are consistently chasing after the things of God, or are you chasing after the wind? And why did you answer the question the way that you did? Are you chasing the things of God? Most people that I ask this question to say, "Well, it's kind of 50-50. Yeah, I know I'm doing these things out here, but I'm seeking the Lord." But let me tell you, those things clash. They don't work together. Would you sit back and confess it before the Father today and say, "Lord, instead of chasing the wind, I want to chase after you"? Yeah, and if maybe there's somebody in your life that you see that's this way, how can we lead and encourage others to not waste their lives chasing after the wind? Because that's exactly what it is. It is a tremendous waste of life. Okay, now as we consider what we've learned today from the Word of God, we need to pray that we will consistently chase after the things of God and not the things under the sun or in this world. And we'll do just that. But let me go ahead and tell you what we're going to be looking at this week for our Bible readings. This week we're going to be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 4 through Ecclesiastes chapter 6. One more time, that's Ecclesiastes chapter 4 through Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Now, next week, we're going to take a look at going to the house of God out of the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. So I trust and pray that you will go through these Bible readings, that you will allow the Lord to speak with you, and that you'll join us again next week when we get together around God's Word to study it. Well, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you now, we're so grateful and so thankful that you have given us tremendous examples in your Word. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will make it our daily endeavor and our daily effort to chase after the things of God, not after chasing the wind or the material things that are all going to pass away. Lord, may we truly take some lessons from what Solomon tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, where he said, "Look, if you name it, I've tried it, and I promise you it's not going to be fulfilling. Only a walk with the Master is going to fulfill our lives." So Lord, may we truly be about your business. May we truly be about seeking you. And that Lord, as the people that we come in contact with see our lives and hear our words, may they be able to grow in your grace simply from the spiritual overflow that is coming out of our lives. And Lord, if we don't find ourselves in the right place, I pray that through your conviction, you will help us this very day to repent, to begin again, to start anew, that we may become exactly what you want us to be. Lord, that we'll stop grasping for the wind and that we will start chasing after the things of God. So Lord, speak to our hearts, move in our hearts, do what only you can as we ask it in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hey, folks, thank you so much for joining us for the Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina Bible study. We're so glad that you saw fit to join us today. We pray that the Lord has spoken to your heart. If you do happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love to have you come and worship with us on Sunday mornings. We start at 10:45 a.m. And man, we'll be looking forward to you coming and just sharing around the Word of God with us. And who knows, maybe God will bring you as part of the family of God known as Central Baptist Church. Anyway, we pray that God's going to bless you this week and may you be a blessing to others. So you take care. God bless and have a great week.